Why don't we start in prayer and then we can start. Dear God, we just thank you for your love, Lord, and we thank you for wanting to spend time with us and wanting to be with us this morning, Lord. We open up our hearts to you. We open up our minds to you, God, that we would not have any distractions, but that our hearts would be completely faced towards you, that we would see you and hear you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would come and have your way in this place this morning, Lord Jesus. We love you and we thank you. We honor you, Lord God, and I pray that our worship would be pleasing to your ear, Lord Jesus. Thank you for everything that you do. In your name I pray. Amen.
All right, so if you guys don't know this one, you'll catch on. I promise. I believe in you. Sing this out. There is no one like our God. And there is no one like our God. And there is no other God who can save. And there is no one like our God. So that was the chorus. We'll start from the beginning. What is this love that won't relent? That's calling now with heaven's breath. Who is reaching wide to save our souls? Only you. What is this grace that makes no sense? That we can never recompense. Who gives us all a second chance? Only you, only you. Come on, sing it out. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. There is no other God who can save. There is no one like our God who hung the stars. Who hung the stars upon the night and showed the sun how bright to shine. Who shaped the world within his hands. Only you, you. Who set the sky above the hills and told the waters to be still. Who spoke to form the universe. Only you, only you, only you. And there is no one like our God. And there is no God. There is no other God who can save. There is no one like our God. Oh, there is no one like our God. There is no other God who can save. There is no one like our God. No height of death can stand between us, no power on earth or all creation, no life or death can separate us from your love. No height or death can stand between us, no power on earth or all creation, no life or death can separate us from your love. Sure, see it out. There is no one like our God. And there is no one like our God. And there is no other God who can save. There is no one like our God. Oh, there is no one like our God. And there is no other God who can save. And there is no one like our God. Come on, sing it out. And there is no one like our God. And there is no other God who can save. There is no one like our God. Forgive me. My string has broken. We'll be good now.
Who breaks the power of
sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. See it out, church. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. See, who brings our chaos? Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Come on, see that. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Oh, oh, you lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, 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 Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me. Sing, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Come on, sing it. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. Oh, that you would bear my cross. You down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, 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 Jesus, I sing for all that this amazing grace. Come on, sing this out. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, 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 Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. You give life, you are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. Sing it again now. You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to than darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath, and it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. And great are you, Lord. You give life. Sing it out. You give life. You are love. You bring life to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you. Oh, sing it out, it's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you. Good. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am, and you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, oh, you are perfect in all. And you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect. All of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways. To us, sing this out. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am, and you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who Sing that you're a good, good father.
Good morning. I'm reading in Malachi now. And in chapter 1, God is speaking to Israel again. And he tells them in verse 6. Is this too loud? Is this just okay. He says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts." And he goes on for the rest of the chapter along the same vein, how you offer great things to these kings, but to me you didn't think about it. You just give whatever you feel like. And I know that this relates to me personally, because it's probably true of a lot of us. We have a big circle of friends, right? And there are occasions where we feel we need to give someone a gift. And in some cases, it's just, you know, let's go to the store real quick. Let's get a card and a gift card, put it in an envelope, and give it to them. But then there's a much smaller circle of friends where when I know an occasion is coming up, I'm ready for it in advance. And I'm like, okay, I want to do something special. I want to, I know exactly what they want. This is my friend, and I want to get them this as a gift. And God is telling them, when you do that for these great kings, when it's time to give them a gift, you do your homework, right? Like, you get to know what they like, what they want, who they are, and so you can find something acceptable for them. But then when it comes to me, you just go grab whatever sheep you find in your flock. You just pick one. You pick the worst one sometimes. You just go and grab it and give it to me. And I think God is telling each of us, starting with me, I am a great king, right? And I want to get to know you, and I want you to get to know me. I want you to come when you give to me. I don't want you to just reach into your wallet and grab it, and that's the extent of our relationship. No, I want you to get to know me. You'll figure out what I want, and you'll realize that it's not the object itself. It's that time I get to spend with you. I want you to know who I am, so when you give, you're giving of your heart. You, giving cheerfully and you're recognizing this is what I want, this is what I love. So when he tells them, offer that to your governor and see what he thinks, he's saying the effort that you put into giving a gift to your governor, to your king, to your leaders, and to your close friends, I want you to do that with me. And you'll start to see a difference. You'll notice there's a difference between when I, even if I give the same thing, even if it turns out to be the same amount or the same piece or whatever it is, there will be a difference in my own life as well as in my relationship with God when I get to know Him and I recognize what He wants.
Praise will ever be on my lips.
sing us out. You will be praised. You will be praised. On saying that you will be praised.
And to be Am I on?
I am now. Everyone doing well?
Yes.
Good morning. If you please turn to John chapter 6 this morning. John chapter 6. I think we'll have it up on the screen. There we go. Thank you. Verses 41 to 51. Says, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead, and this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness this morning. I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for all the amazing things that you bless our hearts and our lives with, that you enrich our lives with, Lord God. Thank you for your word. I ask that you would cause your word to come alive to us each individually, uniquely this morning. I ask that you administer to us as you administer to the children as they go into their classes, Lord God, that you would speak to them at their hearts, at their level, to them, Lord God, in a way that they can understand, grasp, and receive what you have. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. We come relying on you. We sit at your feet as Mary did, waiting to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So John has been taking us on a journey. He's been taking us on a journey because he wants us to believe, and that in believing we might have life in his name. Yes? That you may believe and have life in his name. And Jesus here, in chapter 6, he initiates a miracle to the crowd. He initiates a miracle to the crowd when he saw the multitude shortly after he knew and he heard that John the Baptist, which by the way was his cousin, was beheaded. He decided that he was going to have compassion on the multitudes because they were like sheep without a shepherd, wanting to go to an isolated place by himself to get some rest after the horrible news of hearing about John the Baptist. But he saw the crowd, and when he saw the crowd, it says he was moved with compassion, and he had sympathy and empathy for the crowds, and he wants to minister to them. And then after he preached all day long, as ministers can tend to preach all day long, he says, how shall we feed this great multitude? And he's asking this, knowing exactly what he was going to do. And he wants to perform a miracle. He wants to do something, not just to feed them. He has more than a free meal on his mind. He's guiding them along to bring them to God's truth, which is salvation. But they're not interested in that. They want to use Scripture to manipulate Jesus to get him to give them what? Free food. Anybody can say no to free food? And so Jesus responds to them. He says to them, I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And last time we were together, we looked at eternal God, eternal bread, and eternal life. Was anybody here last time? Okay. We'll pick it up again in verse 41. It says, then the Jews complained about him because he said, I am the bread which comes down from heaven. The Jews complained because they had one hope in mind. They wanted something tangible. They wanted some free food. That's what they were after. They wanted the bread. Because we don't read about them complaining when he was offering the meal. They weren't complaining when they were getting all this free stuff, but now they are standing there and complaining. They're not happy with this transition. When he says to them, I am the bread that comes down from heaven, they begin to complain. And they say, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary? We know his. We know who he is. And when you read the original, the Hebrew text, I'm sorry, the Greek text, when they say, is not this Jesus, really what it's referring to is it's a term of disdain. It's kind of like looking down. It's almost like when we say in our culture, in our vernacular, when we say, what's his name? When you're angry with someone, suddenly you forget their name. And you say, what's his name? What's their name? You know exactly who you're talking about, but you can't even get yourself to say the name. And it's looking down at someone. And so this is how they are saying the statement here, as they are offended with him. And they're offended at the fact that this lowly carpenter is making this claim. At one moment, they want to make him king. The next moment, they're murmuring against the Lord himself. And from chapter 6, we see why people are complaining. They complain, number one, because they don't understand. They complain because they don't understand. Secondly, they have unfulfilled expectations. They have unfulfilled... anybody here? Expectations. Number three, too familiar. They become too familiar. So first of all, they don't understand. Secondly, unfulfilled expectations, and then becoming too familiar. And I think if we draw a parallel to our lives, we'll find that many of the times when we get to a point of complaining, it's basically around these three areas. A, we don't understand. B, we have unfulfilled expectations, or too familiar. And it's easy to complain when you're confused. Did you ever have a really, really bad teacher back in school? I mean, they just took the easiest subject and confused the you-know-what out of you. You're just like, what in the world? Like, what? Like, why are you even a teacher? Like, I used to love this subject, and because of you, I now officially hate this subject because you're making my life miserable, and you begin to do what? You begin to complain. You begin to complain, and you begin to murmur. Or if you have a boss. If you have a boss that really knows how to take something very, very simple and make it very, very complex, you tend to... It's like, man, can you please just simplify? Can you please just tell me what you want one time? Make it clear so that we can work together. And when they make it hard on you, then you begin to naturally begin to... I'm seeing some heads going this way. Yes. And so it's also common to complain when expectations are not met. When expectations are not met. There are certain things that we do expect in life. I expect that when I go to Disneyland or to an amusement park, I expect to wait 2 or 3 hours for a 30-second ride. I expect that. But if you want me to wait 2 or 3 hours at the line at Costco, suddenly it's like, what? The expectation, for one, I expect it, and so I follow through with it. The other one, I'm expecting to wait 10, 15 minutes at the most. Otherwise, I'm going to start complaining. Yeah, it's the expectation level that's there. But it's also human nature to complain when we're too familiar. When we're close enough to know some of the truth, but we don't have the full truth, it's easy to begin to complain against that. And here the Jews are complaining because they didn't understand what Jesus is saying, and they expected physical bread, and they thought that they knew Jesus. They thought they knew who he was. But they didn't realize that God's word was being fulfilled right in front of them. That God had a... Whoops. Is that right? Is that my second slide, James? I was looking for Isaiah 7:14. Is that not up there? No? Okay. Sorry, I was up way too early this morning. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Again, in Isaiah 9 and 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. His name will be Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means God is with us. And what they don't realize is the one that they thought that they knew, the one that they think they know, is actually God in human flesh. They just don't realize it, and so they're beginning to complain. And so Jesus gives them a warning that should have triggered when he said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. Do not murmur among yourselves, because the Jews, the ancestors of these Jews, have a history of murmuring. They have a history of what? Complaining. Of whining. That's what they have a history of doing. That affects no one here in this room, right? Doesn't, no, not a single person here in this room. When they first left Egypt, and they get into the wilderness, it tells us in Exodus 15:24. It says, and the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? As soon as they leave. Now, the Red Sea had just parted for them. The Red Sea had just what? It had just parted for them. They crossed over on dry land. They get to the other side and they begin singing praises, and they're singing with Miriam as she's dancing with her tambourine, right? And as soon as they take two steps into the wilderness, they're like, where's the water? God just did something for you that was incredible. He hit the Egyptians with 10 plagues, and you were untouched, you were unharmed. The army of Pharaoh was behind you, and the ocean was in front of you, and you had nowhere to go. You were going to die. And the Lord opened up a way for you, unlike anything that you've ever seen before in your life, and you walked on to dry land, and God protected you. And as soon as you get to the other side, you begin to complain. Not long after, in Exodus 17:3, it says, and the people thirsted for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? God was so patient with them. He was so patient with them. But all they want to do is just complain and complain and complain and complain. And they're not realizing that God gave them everything that they needed, everything that they needed to live and to survive, they needed. And this was a period of 40 years they're in the wilderness. Now, at around year 38 or 39, they're complaining again. Let me show you this final passage from Numbers. Numbers 21 and 5. This is after Aaron had died, after Miriam had died, and Moses is about to die as well. Numbers 21 and 5 says, the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Our soul, what? Loathes, that's a hard word. Like, we hate this bread. You hate what? I'm hating the bread that you're providing for me every single morning. This bread has kept us from starving to death. This bread has sustained us along the journey. It's given us the strength that we need. There is no sickness among us. Watch this. There is no disease among us. As we have journeyed through, our clothes have not worn out on our back. Our feet have not swelled in the hot desert sand. God has protected us and sustained us and brought us water from the rock. And here they have the audacity, after 38 or 39 years of wandering in the wilderness, they're saying, God, we're complaining against you and complaining against, where's the food? Where's our soul loathed this worthless bread? Worthless bread? It's that same word, murmuring, that Jesus is speaking to these Jews here that was happening to their ancestors back then. But God's goodness and his provision, it became familiar to them. What do you mean? Well, they witnessed the tabernacle. They witnessed the cloud by day and the pillar that was there by night. That became too familiar to them. The bread that came from heaven, the water from the rock, all the goodness of God on their life. Moses would enter into the tabernacle and a cloud would descend, and he would speak to the Lord as one would speak to a friend face to face. God appeared in the on the mountain and gave Moses the ten what? And there they received the direct word from God himself. And so they're seeing all of this and they're witnessing all of this, but they are still murmuring and they are complaining. Do you know why? Because they got so close, they became familiar, but not close enough that they began to disdain what was there. You know, there's a danger. Can I talk to you for a minute? There's a danger in being just close enough, but not so connected that you're in continuous awe of your walk with God. I'm familiar, I'm familiar. I'm familiar with Bible. I'm familiar with prayer. I'm familiar with church. I'm familiar with how things should go, but I don't have that level of intimate relationship with the Lord, so that at times I find that I am complaining and grumbling. Any professional, don't raise your hand. Any professional grumblers in the house? Just me. Just me, right? Funny you should say that, because I was grappling and wrestling with this text the entire week as I'm reading. I'm saying, God, I don't want to preach this text because I'm talking about myself. I stand ahead of the line. No, you're absolutely right. I stand ahead of the line. This is really talking about me because we get so close, but not yet close enough. Because listen, the majority of them wanted to live by sight. They didn't want to live by faith. They wanted to live by their senses. They wanted to live by the things that they saw and felt and heard and touched and things they can count. Uh-oh. Does anybody else love Excel like me? Putting numbers into a spreadsheet and you count every penny? Every penny. Right? She shakes her head like, what are you doing? I count it to the, it has to be to the penny. Some people live by their senses. Some people live by the things that they can see and hear and smell and taste and feel. And if it's outside of that, they don't know how to function. And that becomes a problem. But listen, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them," meaning the Israelites back then. "But the word that they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." In other words, they heard the same word that we heard. But they chose to walk in the flesh as opposed to those who walk by faith and walk in the Spirit. Some people will choose to continue to walk in their flesh as opposed to walk in the Spirit. I want to choose to live by the things that I can hold on to, things that I can hear, taste, smell, connect with, as opposed to choose by faith to simply walk in obedience to the Lord. But there were at least two people in the camp of Israel. Anybody know their names? Joshua and Caleb, yes? Joshua and Caleb decided they were not going to be like everyone else to follow along the crowd, but they were going to choose to believe God, and when the timing was right, they were going to pursue and inherit the land. As a matter of fact, when they get to the promised land, Caleb is now 80 years old. He walks up to Mr. Joshua and he says, "Joshua, give me my inheritance. It's been 40 years. We've been wandering in the wilderness because our brothers rebelled against the Lord. They made the hearts of the people fear. But now I am 80 years old and my strength is just as strong now as it was back then. Give me the mountains. I want the giants." You want the what? "I want to go to war. I want to go to battle. I am ready to inherit what God has for me, but I know that in my inheritance, it doesn't come freely. My inheritance doesn't mean I get to hang a hammock between two palm trees and I get to swing on it and drink lemonade. That is not my inheritance. My inheritance is to go to battle with the God who says, I am giving you the land. Everything that I promised you, you will possess it, but you got to fight for it in the process. It doesn't just come to you." And sometimes we in the Christian church, can I talk to you this morning? Sometimes we just want stuff to come to us. Yeah. This is not Uber Eats. What are the other services out there? Grubhub. And you can't dial in your blessing. You got to get fully engaged, which means you need to fully begin to know your God, which means you need to get into the trenches and know who you are and to whom you belong and say, "God, I am in this for the long haul. And though everyone on the side may wander away and they want to walk in the flesh, I'm going to choose to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, and to take hold of what you have already promised me, because you've already, oh my God, you've already given me the victory. The victory is already mine. You said, I've given." God didn't say, "I will give you the land." He says, "I've already given you the land. What I need you to do now is simply believe me and to begin to walk in obedience. If you will but believe me and begin to walk in obedience, I have already given it to you." So those giants that are standing in front of you, that's your bread. What's that? That's my bread. That's my lunch. My opposition becomes what I feast on. Because that's the God that I serve. Living by our senses, it leads us to murmuring and complaining, because living by our senses, it's never enough. It's never enough. When you're living in the flesh, it's never enough. And because they murmured there in Numbers 21, they were bitten by venomous snakes. They were bitten by what? By a venomous snake. This is when they complained against God and they complained against Moses. The Lord allowed these venomous snakes, who were already in the wilderness, by the way. They were there the whole time. They just didn't experience it for the last 38 years because God had a protection around them. Go back and read Job chapter 1. I can't touch him because you have a hedge of protection around him. But you know what happens when you and I begin to complain and to murmur? The hedge kind of goes away for a minute. God takes his hand away for a minute and says, okay, now show me. You're not happy with how I'm doing things. Let me take my hand of protection away and see what you're able to do now in this situation, in this scenario. And the vipers, they came and they began to bite the people, and they cried out to Moses. And, the Bible says that many people died as a result of such. The people cried out to Moses. Moses were bitten. What do we do? God said to him, I want you to take a brazen serpent, a bronze serpent, lift it up on a pole, and everyone that looks to the brazen serpent will be healed. A picture of what Jesus would do later in the future when he is lifted up and bring us healing and salvation. Murmuring against God and against people opens the door for the enemy. Listen, I don't want to be that. This is why I've been grappling with this text the entire week, I'm telling you. I don't want to be that. And it's not about behavior or modification. I'm not trying to change your behavior or change my behavior, but it's changing the posture of our heart, because that's where the complaining comes from. You and I can teach ourselves to guard our words in front of other people. But that's the outside. We're not concerned about the outside. I'm not concerned about how you look on the outside. I'm concerned about what's happening in the recesses, in the deepest parts of my heart, because that's where the complaining starts. The complaining begins deep down in here, and I don't want to complain against God, and I don't want to complain against people, because that opens the door for the enemy in my life, and I cannot bless God and complain against God at the same time. Your praise will ever be on my lips. I cannot praise you continuously and complain against you continuously at the same time. I'm living in a very confused kind of world. I'm living in a very powerless kind of world. I'm living in a very whatever kind of world. That's not the kind of world that God wants you and I to be in. He wants us to be in a world where we are fully engaged, fully focused, fully receiving what we have from God. And these passages, by the way, are simply examples for us. Can I prove it to you? One person says yes. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church. He says, now these things became our what? To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down and ate to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpent. Nor complain. Nor what? Nor complain. I didn't think that was a big deal. I didn't think it was heavy. It's in the Bible. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples and were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Listen, this is written for the church. This is not written for unbelievers. It's written for those of us who come to church. I know it's a real popular message. But a large percentage of people in church struggle in leaning towards the flesh, leaning towards the tangible, leaning towards the physical, which leads to lust, which leads to idolatry, which leads to sexual immorality, leads to complaining. See, how do I know if my life is all about that? Consider where you spend the majority of your time. Consider where you spend the majority of your thoughts, in the quietness of your own mind and heart. That's what you're worshiping. That's what you're what? That's what you're worshiping. I know we come in here and we worship the Lord here together, but in the quietness of your own mind and your own thoughts and your own heart, when you're by yourself, when no one else is looking, That's what you are thinking about. That becomes your idol. That becomes your God. That becomes what you are really worshiping. Philippians 2 and 14. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Do all things without complaining and disputing. And Philippians 2 speaks about the Lord Jesus, how he humbled himself, took on himself the form of flesh, right, giving himself for us on our behalf, how he became the example. We're to follow in that same example. This is not something that you and I can do on our own. This is something that we need to rely on the Lord for completely as we look to him, as we focus on him. But it's also a word for those who are pursuing God with all of their heart, because I know there are people here in this room that are pursuing God with all of their hearts, and they're saying, well, brother, I'm not really struggling with those other issues. Sit tight. Because familiarity brings disaster. When you're familiar with something, it brings a level of disaster. And maintaining a teachable mindset is critical in our walk with God. Maintaining a teachable attitude and mindset is critical in our walk with God. And the moment you think you understand the Lord and you think, I got it, you're in trouble. The moment you think, I've got this under control, I understand how to do this, you are in trouble. Because God is on a journey of taking us from glory to glory. From glory to glory. In Acts chapter 10, there's a story of one of the apostles. Maybe you'll give me his name in a minute. All the preachers and stuff, please don't say anything. I know you know. He's on the house, he's on the rooftop, and he's praying. And the Bible says that he's hungry. I love this guy. And they're preparing the meal. And the Bible says suddenly he saw a vision, he saw a trance. And there was a sheet that came down from heaven, and in this sheet was all kinds of animals, four-legged animals. And the sound came I almost said his name. Yeah, I blew it. Sorry. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he says, not so, Lord. And he's beginning to argue and complain against the Lord. I have not eaten anything that is unclean from my youth. And the Lord comes and says to him, do not call unclean what I have called or what I have cleansed. Peter, what is going on? He's taking him on a journey. He wants to take him deeper and rid him of any problems that he may have, that he may be thinking about, because Peter here at this point has an issue with the Gentiles. Peter has an issue with those who are non-Jewish people. He has an issue with other people. Here's a man of God who has an issue with other people. Please don't raise your hands. Just smile real big and look at me. Don't even nod. You have issues with other people. He had issues with other people. He may have become accustomed to walking with Jesus and doing ministry, but he had issues with other people that God was trying to rid him of something and to get him to stop complaining about a certain issue in his life. In Acts chapter 2, he preaches one of the best sermons ever, and 3,000 come to faith in that one sermon. Yes? In Acts chapter 3, he goes to prayer, him and John in the morning, and there at the Gate Beautiful, there was a man who was lame. And he says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So the lame man is healed. In Acts chapter 4, he's thrown into prison, but he shows great boldness. Right? In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira have lied to the Holy Spirit, and he prophesies a word to them, and both husband and wife fall down dead. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 15, it talks to us about how Peter's shadow would heal those who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having such an intimate walk with the Lord that just your shadow, you didn't have to touch them. Just the shadow. People were being healed. Talk about walking close with Jesus. This is in chapter 5. In chapter 10, the Lord appears to him and he says to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat, and he is complaining. I'm telling you, when I began to study this, I'm like, okay, clearly there's something that you want to communicate, not just to me, but to the church at large, because this hinders This hinders the flow of the Holy Spirit's move and work in our life. When I live a life of complaining, when I have issues that are even deeply buried in my life that I don't even realize that I'm complaining, but on the inside I'm complaining, on the outside I'm smiling. Is that just me or am I? Just me. That's two for two. So Jesus reveals this to him because he wants to take him to a different level. He wants to take him to a deeper level. Listen, I believe there are some people here today that are stuck in their journey with the Lord because there may be an attitude of complaining, a spirit of complaining. Yes, and God wants to take us into a deeper level where we push all this to the side and say, Lord, I don't want to have this to be a part of my life anymore. I don't want to complain because I can't complain and trust you at the same time. Because complaining means either A, I don't understand, or I'm disappointed. I don't trust you. Our hearts become too familiar with things. But the good news is, in verse 44, Jesus says, no one comes to me unless the Father draws him. No one comes to me unless the Father draws him. Listen, the Father is drawing your heart to the Lord Jesus. And someone may say, you know what? I've been bitten by the venomous snakes in the wilderness, and I have sinned, and I have struggled in this particular area over and over again. Listen, God, as the Lord told Moses to raise up that brazen serpent and said, as any would look to that brazen serpent, they would be healed. And A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Pursuit of God, he tells us that looking and believing is one and the same. Looking and believing is one and the same. When I am looking to the Lord, it's because I have a faith in my heart that if I do this, if I look at Him, if I look to Him, then I will be saved. And all who look to Him will be saved. So what is the Lord's attitude then pertaining to this? Let me just finish reading the rest of this piece and then I'll get to another section here in a moment and then we'll close. Most assuredly, I say, who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. And this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. And he's saying, I want you to learn to feast on me. I want you to learn to receive what I have to give you, not just what your fathers ate looking at things of the flesh, but I want you to look at things from the spiritual realm. And then I began to look at the passage in Numbers chapter 21, in Numbers chapter 22, and in 23, and in 24, and I began to notice something. I began to notice a pattern of something. Allow me to share it with you. What was God's heart for these individuals? What was God's heart for these people? And it's revealed to us. After they complained, they're bitten by the venomous snakes. Moses raises up the brazen serpent. They look to the brazen serpent and they're saved. It says, then they went and they defeated other kingdoms that were around. So much so that the king of Moab began to get frightened and began to get scared. And said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hire a prophet to come and curse the people for me. And the prophet's name was Balaam. So Balaam came. It's kind of a funny story. You need to go back and I'm not going to tell you the whole story. Go back and read it in chapter 21 of Numbers. He finally comes and he gives four prophecies pertaining to the children of Israel. Again, I'm holding out a lot of information for the sake of time. But he gives them four prophecies as he's speaking out because the king of Moab wants him to curse. And he doesn't speak curses. He speaks blessing. And he says this. Balak, the king of Moab, brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come and curse Jacob for me. And come, denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the rocks I see him. From the high hills I behold him there, a people dwelling alone, to reckon itself among the nations. How can I count the dust of Jacob, or number one-fourth of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his end. For those of you who don't know, that's a blessing. The king of Moab is like, what in the world are you doing? I'm ready to give you some good money so you can curse the people for me, and you're blessing them. What are you doing? He gets up and speaks again. He says, rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, the son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He has said, and he will not do? Or has God spoken, and he will not make it good? Behold, I receive a command to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Listen to this. For he has not observed iniquity in Jacob. He has not seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord God is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. Wait, what? God, whoever's talking outside, please close the door or tell him to stop. Thank you. God sees them from a completely different perspective. They have issues in-house. They are murmuring and struggling and complaining in-house. They are sinning against the Lord in-house. But when the Lord is ready to talk about his children, his people, those that belong to him, he says, I don't see iniquity in Jacob. And the shout of the king, that means God is there with them. God is there with them, and God's going to give them the victory. Can I read to you the third prophecy? Good. The utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of a man whose eyes are wide open, the utterance of him who sees the who hears the word of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. He shall pour water from buckets, and seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and the kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt with the strength of a wild ox. He shall consume the nations, his enemies. He shall break their bones and pierce them with his arrows. He bows down. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him up? Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. What is that? It is speaking more blessings upon the nation of Israel. He's saying those who are going to bless you, those who bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be cursed. Let me read the fourth and final one quickly here. The utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of a man whose eyes are wide open, the utterance of him who hears the word of God. He has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. This is Numbers 24, verse 17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter will rise out of Israel. What's that? You mean God just didn't forgive them and see them in a good way because God is good? Well, of course God is good, but there's a reason why he did so. It's because there is a star that is rising. There's a scepter that's coming forth. I see him, but not now. He's distant, but he's coming. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Shiloh. We're talking about the Messiah. We're talking about the one who's going to come and be not just the brazen serpent in the wilderness, but will be the ultimate sacrifice for all of the world, and he will take away every person's sin, every complaint, every murmuring, every bad thing that anybody has ever done will be nailed to the cross. And that's why he says, when I look at him, I see him as perfect. When I look at him, I see him as holy. Listen, when I look in the mirror, I don't see perfect and holy. I don't know about you. Some of you do. Okay. When I look in the mirror, I don't see perfect and holy. When I... This is not going the way I expected it today. But I love God. He's so good. Isn't he good? He doesn't see us the way that we see ourselves. He sees us through the blood of his perfect sacrifice. We don't have to beat ourselves and condemn ourselves because we lack in certain areas, because we do lack in certain areas. What we can do is say, God, I'm going to choose not to complain today about you or me or anyone else. I couldn't. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to complain about the weather. I'm not going to complain about any. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to choose to have a heart and an attitude of gratitude towards you, because you are God and you are in control and you've made all provisions already. God, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have everything that we need to live this kind of life. And He says, I am your sustainer. I am your provider. I am your healer. I am your victory. I am everything that you need me to be. And that's why He begins this whole paraphrase saying, I am. We talked about that last week. I am everything. And all you need is found in me if you will but trust in me. And so I need to go back this morning and search my heart. And maybe you need to search your heart as well. God, am I complaining? Have I been complaining? Am I complaining about people or circumstances or you? And am I opening the door for the enemy to come into my life because things aren't working the way that I want them or hope that they would? Things are not moving as quickly as I'd like them to go? Am I complaining or am I trusting in you? Am I trusting in you? And I choose today to be aware of this, and I choose to trust in you. Can we take a moment and pray together? Lord, today I choose to trust in you. I choose to trust in you. I want to be aware, Lord God. I don't want to be oblivious. I don't want to be oblivious to my own thoughts. I don't want to be oblivious to my own heart. I don't want to be oblivious to my own attitudes, Lord God, and have these blind spots in my life. I want to be alert and aware. I want to be alert and aware. I don't want to be a person who is murmuring and complaining. When you said in your word, do not murmur, do not complain. Lord, the food that you provide is sufficient. Your salvation is enough. Your blood is enough. The fact that you are Abba, Father, is enough. The fact that you said, I will take care of you, is enough. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Yet you are much more valuable than the sparrows. And if your Father feeds them, will He not take care of you? God, forgive me because I've complained. I have murmured. I said, why, God? Heart should be grateful to you. Because you paid the ultimate price for my sin and you took care of it. And you gave me the freedom and the liberty to approach you with freedom, with boldness, to enter in. And you're ready to teach my hands, as David says, you're ready to teach my hands to make war so I can go in and inherit the land like Caleb. And say, give me the mountains, I want the giants. The opposition that has been taunting me all of my life, those things that have been thrown in my face all of my life, I want those giants. I want those giants. It's not by my own strength, because I don't come in my own strength, but I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God who already has spoken. I'm not waiting for another word. I'm going to begin to walk in the word that you've already revealed. And you said that I am not just a conqueror, but you said I am more than a conqueror. You said I am more than a conqueror. So today I choose to believe, even though I may not feel it, I may not understand it, but I choose to believe it. I choose to believe it. I am more than a conqueror. Brother, my sister, I don't know what the Lord is speaking to you this morning about. I don't know what issue specifically you are grappling with. But God has made some specific promises about you being His child today. And whatever it is that you're grappling with, He's already made provisions for it. We're not waiting or begging or pleading with God to find a solution to our unique problem. He's already provided a solution to your problem. What you and I need to do is fix our gaze on heaven and look to Him and say, God, I'm not going to turn my eyes away from you, and I'm going to continue to bless you, and I'm going to continue to honor you and praise your name, and you will bring it to pass. Because as long as you are in my boat, it is not going to sink. As long as you are with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, lift up your own voice to God and pray. Lift up your own voice. Don't just listen to the preacher praying a prayer on your behalf. Lift up your own voice, your own heart to God. Whatever it is that's on your heart, whatever it is that you've been murmuring or complaining about, confess that before Him today. Confess that before Him today. Say, God, I don't want to live that life anymore. I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to live with a life, with a heart that's full of thanksgiving and praise and honor and glory and power and purpose. And purpose. I don't want to murmur against people. I don't want to talk about people. God, I want to bless your name. Your name is high. Your name is worthy. Your name is worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of all the honor and the glory and the power and the praise. And the 24 elders, they remove the crowns off their heads and they place them at your feet and they cry out. They cry out before you, Lord God, as the angels do. And they're singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Full of your glory. God hasn't withheld any good thing from us. He hasn't withheld any good thing from us. We need to stop listening to the lies of the enemy who's whispering to us, saying something is missing from your life. I want to say to you, there's nothing that is missing from your life. As long as you have Jesus, you have everything that you need. And my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that I am lacking. There is nothing that I am lacking. There is nothing that I am lacking. God, so long as I have you, I have everything. Whether I'm in the palace or the prison, no matter where I may be, I can thrive. I can thrive. Whether I'm in a high place or a low place, I can thrive because you are with me. Hallelujah. Because you are with me. So long as God is with us, who can be against us? Bless your name, Lord God. We choose to bless your name, Lord God. We bless your name. We honor you. We praise you. We glorify you. Jesus. 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 Can we take just the next few moments and pray? If you want to stand, stand. If you want to, however you want to express your heart to God, but pray. Honor God.
Soul sings, my soul sings, how I love you, my soul sings, my soul sings, my soul sings, how I love you. To know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one? Oh, all I want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one? Oh, sing it out now, all I want, and all I want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until where? Oh, my soul, it sings, my soul sings, my soul sings, my soul sings, how I love you, my soul sings, my soul. So sings all I hold, and all I want is just to know your.
soul it sings, my soul sings, my soul sings, my soul sings, how I love you, my soul sings, my soul sings, my soul sings. Is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one, all one? And all I want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're...
Sing us out. It's just a little while. It's just a little while longer, and I'll see you. Just a little while longer and I'll know you. It's just a little while longer and we'll be together. Oh, it's just a little while longer and I'll see you. Just a little while longer and I'll know you. It's just a little while longer and we'll be together. Sing it out now. Just a little while longer and I'll see you. Just a little while longer and I'll know you. It's just a little while longer and we'll be. Just one more time, just a little while longer. Just a little while longer and I'll see you. It's just a little while longer and I'll know you. It's just a little while longer and we'll be together. My soul sings. My soul sings. My soul sings. How I love you, my soul sings, my soul sings, my soul sings. All I want, say that now, and all I want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one? Oh, and just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until everyone? Sing it out all. And all I want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until everyone? Sing all the one. And all I want is just to know. And would you keep me here until we're one? Oh, how we love you, how we love you. Oh, how we love you, how we love you. And all I want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one? And all I want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one? Oh, all I
want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one? Oh, 'cause you are good. Oh, you are worthy of everything. Worthy of everything, and you are good. You are good. You are worthy of everything. You are worthy of everything. Oh, oh.
Thank you.
is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one? And all I want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one? Oh, all I want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one? Oh, all I want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one? My soul sings, my soul sings, my soul sings, how I love you. My soul sings, my soul sings, my soul sings, how I love you, how I love you. How we love you, how we love you, oh God, we love you, oh God, we love you, and how we need. Oh, how we love you, the devil. How we love you, oh, how we love you. Sing this part one more time, all I want. And all I want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one? Oh, all I want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one?
Thank you, Jesus, for the love that's in this room, Lord God. Thank you for drawing close to us, Lord, and drawing us to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can come before you with everything that we have, God, and that you accept us the way that we are. Thank you, Lord God. I pray for every person in this room. I speak joy over them. I speak peace over them. I pray that throughout their week and throughout their lives, Lord God, that they would represent you, Lord Jesus, not because we are good, but because you're good, Lord God. I pray that you would pour out your love through them, Lord God, and let them show your light to the people around us, Lord. God, I love you. We love you, Lord God. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you for everything that you're doing. We love you. Your name.